Let us worship God. Let us sing Psalm number 15. And we sing the whole of Psalm number 15 to God's praise and glory. Within thy tabernacles, Lord, who shall abide with thee? Psalm number 15 to God's praise. Join together now in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how good it is to be reminded of the way to heaven and to be reminded of the characteristics of those who are on that road to glory. And as we've been singing in the psalm, we have been reminded of such realities, and we pray that we would always assess ourselves in the teaching of Scripture, not in the opinions of men or the feelings that arise in our own hearts. We are conscious, O God, that we are easily deceived, and we are easily deceived as to how sinful we are, and we are easily deceived also just to realize how saved we are as we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so once again, as we gather this evening around the Holy Scriptures to sing and to pray and to praise, help us, we pray, to raise our hearts truly with a desire to acknowledge that God is great, worthy to be praised, great beyond all our imaginings, greater than our praises can ever aspire to. And in glory we read of how the angels veil their faces and cover their feet, as it were, in humility, in anticipation and eagerness to do God's will, conscious that God is holy, holy, holy. On earth we see disorder. In our own hearts we see disorder. And in the church we see disorder. And we see disorder because we see disobedience. And we recognize, O God, that the gospel is the only remedy that can bring us back from the far country of sin and bring us back into the Father's house once again, where we are assured of a welcome and a rejoicing. So help us to be conscious this evening, O God, that as we approach the throne of grace, we do so because we have been invited, and because we are welcomed, and because we are glad to come to confess our sins and find mercy, and seek grace to help us in our times of need. We pray for the church again, as always we must do, praying for all the saints, but especially those immediately connected with us, the denomination at large, the believers in the denomination, the ministries, the elderships, the various diaconal courts of the church, the activities of the church. How small we are, O God, so often. How little impetus we seem to make anywhere. And we acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that we are a little voice in a big world that makes a big noise. And so we pray not that we would be noisemakers, but that what we would say would be true and good, useful, remembered for godliness and blessed by the Lord. We seek this evening as we gather again around the open scriptures. We seek to mingle together in the worship of God, the community of saints. And as we do so, help us to remember that we are not restricted by time and sense and visions and physical closeness, but rather that the communion of the saints transcends space and time, and that it is in the spiritual realms ultimately, the high places, the heavenly places, where we belong, that our true communion truly belongs. In this world, we are not aware of this, we do not be able to fully communicate, express, or experience such wonderful truths as the scripture describes belonging to the saints of God. Sin always intervenes. Our personal predilections, our personal tragedy in many ways, intervenes, rendering us cripples in the spiritual life. And so we pray that we would remember that glory and all its promises and all its experiences is all of grace and all of God and none of us. And without that gospel, we would be left without hope. And without that gospel, we would be left without the peace of God in our hearts and any possibility of fellowshipping with the saints and having peace among ourselves. Once again, we remember to pray for our families. We pray the blessing of God upon them. We are obliged to do so because we have responsibilities for them and to them. And for those who rule over us, once again, we remember the command of the Lord to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And what belongs to Caesar is support and prayer support, praying for kings and all in authority. We confess that we so often forget and neglect this, and the scripture insists upon it. And so this evening we pray again for those in high places throughout the whole world, even those with whose politics and practices we most radically disagree, even those who legislate for unrighteousness and legislate for ungodliness and against righteousness. We pray for them also, because they do not bear the sword in vain. And even without their authority and their sword, life in this world would be almost impossible, so chaotic and so broken down that nowhere would be safe one from the other. So we give thanks that there is an order of peace in which the church can exist and be permitted to preach the gospel. Long may it continue, O God. And to this end, we remember those who do preach the gospel in far off places, those known to us, and those whom we will never know in this world, but to do the work of God among people that we will never know or meet in this world. But we do know that the Church of God is a universal Catholic Church, and that the Church of Christ is being built throughout all the nations, and the world will never be able to prevail against it. So we pray for these good causes, O God, and for all these needy things and all the other things that are upon our hearts, Lord, you know what it is that it is burdening to us, and we bring them all once again to this throne of grace, where there is so much grace offered and freely given, and so much mercy freely given, sin upon sin, day upon day, weakness upon weakness met and sufficiently supplied by grace for every time of need. And for this we are thankful, O God. And now help us to sing the praises of Him who is the Most High. Help us to do now what we shall do in heaven, singing praises to one who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb, and to utter these great utterances, worthy as the Lamb who was slain, and praise be unto Him who made all things, and who rules all things, and for thy glory and for thy praise all things were created. Unto Him be the glory forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles, and in chapter 2, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and we're going to begin to read at verse number 14. The opening verses in Acts chapter 2, of course, deal with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the response of those who heard and saw the results of the coming Holy Spirit. And the believers speaking in tongues and the multitudes there were utterly astonished, and some of them at least thought that these men were filled with new wine and were drunk and speaking these strange things. And so we find at verse 14, Peter standing up and the beginning of the first Christian sermon. At verse 14 we read, "But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, that is, in the grave, or in the place of the dead, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this, that same Christ, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so on. We remind you of the notices, our Wednesday meeting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and then of course the next Lord's Day service is 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. And we always welcome folks listening in with us, and we do welcome you again this evening to this service. We're still operating under a closure due to advice received from our project manager, a scaffolding expert, and also our legal advisor. And I don't know how long this will last, as we said in the morning, but we have to be cautious concerning these things. So we worship again this evening around the Word. Now we're going to sing to God's glory in Psalm number 16, and the 16th Psalm, verses 1 to 5. Lord, keep me, for I trust in thee. To God thus was my speech. Psalm number 16, and we sing these verses 1 to 5.
Lord, keep me.